if you will, this morning to turn to the book of Zebediah and chapter 3. In the book right after Habakkuk and right before the book of
Zebediah.
Zechariah, and that's going to be chapter 12, verse 1 there. And, All right, y'all got it? All right, in the book of Zebediah, or what you want to call it, chapter 3, is saying right here in verse 1, it says, woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing cities. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her, are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bone till the morrow. Her prophets are liars and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity ever. Every morning doeth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nation, their towers are desolate, and I made their streets waste, that none passes by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitants. I said, surely thou wilt fear me. Thou shalt receive instruction, so thy dwelling should not be cut off. However, I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all thy doings. In verse 10, it said, from beyond the river of the Euphrates and its suburbs, even the daughters of my deprived shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee, them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in thy mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. The blessings of the Lord was upon Israel. And the Lord was blessing Israel each and every day. But each and every day, Israel was turning their back on God. They was defiling God, and everything that he had stood for, was standing for. And the people and the children of Israel, that at one time they were standing for the same things, but they've got tired. They've got tired of traveling. They got tired of hearing all of this and all of that and everything, and not really seeing anything done. The children of Israel was granted by the Lord himself to go about in speaking to the people and to build up the synagogue, not to tear the synagogue down and not to tear the people down, but to build the people up and to build the synagogues up, which is a church, and to build the Lord up. Well, can you imagine in what all the Lord God had done for Israel? It's what the devil is now doing to the Lord God. We're seeing that happen today. Not 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. But today, we're seeing people wanting to turn the sanctuary, the house of God, into wasteland. They'd rather come here and take this building where it had been here for 55, 56 years. They would rather come here and to take this building after we've gone, and if they'd rather come right here and take this building, have gambling, having this, have perversion going on, have anything the world loves, they would rather have it right here. And they won't have no fault again. I mean, and you know, I know that a born again believer today. I know if it, well, I'll take me for instance. I got saved when I was 30. But until I was birthed and until I was conceived, my mother gave me birth, from that day forward until I was 30 years old, I was a sinner. And I know that you have some people out there, well, you got to realize some things about the young. And I do, I realize that. And I know that the Lord's not going to take his children away, because they are precious to his soul. But the thing that I see today that is happening more and more every week is where people in general now, and people in general, is doing everything they can to defy the Lord, to go against everything the Lord has lived. And that's just like what Israel done with all the promises that they had from God Almighty. They still turned it back. On the Lord. And you think about the leaders now, the leaders of these Israelites. Back then, yes, they had leaders. They had leaders to lead this group. They had leaders to lead that group, to lead this group and that group. They had leaders there. What was the leaders there for? The leader was there to look after them. What's happening with the leader of today? They're not looking after the flock. They're not looking after the individual's well-being. They're not looking after the people. They're not looking to make sure the people that they are serving, they're not going to allow somebody else to come in and tell them what they can do, what they can't do, and all that. See, that's where I come in, here. That's what the Lord, that's the reason the Lord's got me here. It's for me to take care of you and to make sure that nobody comes in and runs you down. Because then the Lord will give me the authority. And I believe I have it in His Word. He will give me the authority if somebody happens to come into this church and start running each and every one of you down and cursing you and all that. God Almighty gives me the authority here. I don't know as much if He gives it to the deacons or not, but I know He gives it to the under shepherd to look after the flock and to rebuke them, the one to come in and wants to tear the flock down. We have too many people today that are here in this world. I don't know how many cars, how many vehicles have went by here since we've been here this morning. But I can probably say it's been more than 5, probably more than 10. But how many vehicles has been by here? You can just about think on this. The problem with every other vehicle, if you got 20 vehicles, every other vehicle,
probably have somebody in an office. You might have a car full of people that is lost. That is up to the church to look after them and to help them to see it God's way. And if we don't see it God's way, if we don't do it God's way, it's not going to get done. And what we do, we just shadow box. But we can't do that. We have got to do what the Lord has us to do. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this, man, until the end of the service. Each one of you, and it's not that many, it ain't seven of us here. What do you think the Lord would want you to do? What do you think the Lord would want you to do? And all the benefits that you're going to inherit one day. You know, we're going to inherit things in heaven. But there is a cost to it. It means that we have to go out. It means we have to go to people. And we must tell them the promises and the blessings that this book is filled with, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. All the promises and all the blessings that is at our disposal. And the reason we're not blessed is because we don't want to be. The reason that we're not being thankful, because we don't thank God enough. You know, God, God likes to hear from his children. If you haven't seen your child in a pretty good while, a month, 2 months, or if you hadn't even spoken to them on the phone in a week. And when they do call you, if they call you in that week, they say, I sure glad you called me. It makes you feel better. And then the months that go by, and you never talk to the Lord. He's that weak. It says right, it's two words in the Bible in one verse. Jesus wept. What does he weep over? What is he weeping over today? He's weeping over his people. He's weeping over us just like he did Israel back in them days. Can you imagine how bad we're hurting his feelings? And just think about this. With all the blessings that we know the Lord has given us so far, and all the promises that he has made in your word, where we can read, and it reads in a way to it's the blessings and the promises of God for the individual. Individual, not just talking about a group of people, but an individual person. So just think about this thing. What if the Lord says, Donnie, you haven't spoke to me in 2 or 3 months.
I'm gonna be like Israel here. I'm gonna be like what the last of the book of the New Testament in the book of Malachi. Which the book of the Malachi ended up in the Old Testament. But yet, even Israel didn't see God, didn't hear from God for what, 400 years later. In between that and the New Testament. I wouldn't want to go a day without the Lord speaking to me. I wouldn't want to go a half a day without me having some kind of communication with the Lord. He wants to talk to us because he knows that we are the ones that he has to keep the church going, to keep his ministry going, and to keep it going on to where we can witness to the people and where, yes, maybe now and then we may get one that will say, I'd love to be saved. And the way that we can tell them how to be saved, and they could come to the Lord and ask him to save our soul. We can come to that point somewhere. If we'll just do the right things. What is the right thing? What is the right things that we need to do? Is believe in this book. Believe in this book. Wholeheartedly. Believe in this book. And what this book says. And if you're a Christian, you made a promise to God. We all made a promise to God when we got saved. Because when the Lord, when we asked the Lord to save us, and when the Lord didn't ask me when he saved me, or before he saved me, he said, we're dying. Before I can save you, and before God can write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, are you going to promise to me that you're going to serve me until the second coming? Or are you going to talk to me every day? See, the Lord didn't do that. He didn't do that. He didn't ask me if I was going to serve him. He didn't ask me if I was going to do this and I was going to do that. See, the Holy Spirit has already talked to me about that. But when I asked the Lord to save my soul, then I went into a promise and a commitment to God that I would serve him faithfully. And I would serve him each and every day. And the days that I come up short, he needs to let me know. And he will let you know. But I'll tell you one thing. The Lord, he is so merciful. His mercy. Just think about his mercy. How he had his mercy upon each one of us. Because see, he didn't have to save us. He didn't have to. He didn't have to save me. He didn't have to burden me down by teaching or preaching. He didn't have to do none of that stuff. But see, he's God.
And not only God, but He's also the Holy Spirit. And you have the Trinity there. What is a Trinity? The Trinity is three in one, right? Okay, three in one. You've got God the Father. He's number one. You've got God the Son. That's number two. The only begotten Son of God. And then you have the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost of God. What do they tell you? Do we go to God and ask God to, well, God, I wish you could show me some right here what I need to do like that. Do I go to Jesus? Jesus. I haven't made a decision on that. I don't go to God, I don't go to Jesus. You know who I go to? The Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit teaches us what the Bible says. And when we read it, I mean, just like right now, and what I read last week, I mean, I probably couldn't tell you what chapter, what verse, or anything that I read. Don't you know? Probably can't even tell you what I said last week. But the thing about, that's when the Holy Spirit comes in. See, the Holy Spirit comes in, and He, what? Does what? On the communion table? The remembrance? He helps us to remember things that we didn't have no idea about. In John chapter 14 and verse 26, I love it, a verse from death. Because he tells me one, that verse tells you this. He tells you that you don't need to go to no seminary. You don't need to go to no cemetery. You don't need to go to nobody. You don't need to go to no man at all and teach you what the book is saying. Because what should we do at first? Before we even went to an individual and asked them a question about this something in the Bible, this certain. I mean, what should we do? I believe that we should pray in the name of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus, in the name of God, that when we pray, we can touch the hem of the garment that the Lord Jesus Christ wears today. What's that garment? Oh, in the book of Isaiah, it speaks about that garment. It speaks about the garment of salvation. It speaks about the robe that we wear. That's the garment that he's speaking about. We need to go to each other and come to you, that I know that if I come and if I bring something to you, and if I ask you to help me pray about it, or pray about it, then I have all the confidence, I need to have all the confidence in the world that I can depend on you praying for me. And you should be able to have all the confidence in the world in me. That if you come and tell me something, that I will not repeat it. If you don't want to repeat it, I will not repeat it. here to not only just help myself, but I hope that I'm helping you too. Because it's coming a day, unless the Lord returns real quickly, I got a feeling the next election for president after, I mean, I think Trump will go in again, but after that, better watch out. We think Obama will fail. Well, end up saying Obama, he was a saint compared to some of the others that's running. Because this country right here is going to go broke. This country is broke. All the money that they're spending up in Washington, they're getting it from China. They're getting it from over there. They're not getting it from the people, because what the people gives the government is having to take our money and paying China. But we're just paying China what? The interest on it. I don't think really China will give us an interest-free loan. I just don't think they would. But see, there's one man that's going to be running for president. He's telling the people that the people should not have to pay for anything. But what he is saying, he's not telling all the people this. What he is saying, he says, we're going to make the law. Probably every year, we'll go to China and ask China to help us, to give us a little more to profit. We used to be the giving country. We used to be the loving country that would take care of people overseas. Anytime that they come and they have a tidal wave and all that, if that, who is the first one to come up and say, we're here for you? And who's the first people that comes on and comes at their place? Is the American people. Yeah. And we're there to what? Help them. Why? Because we know something about love. But there's so many people out here don't know anything about love anymore. And I ain't talking about this kind of love that all the individuals out here are looking for today. I'm not talking about that sexual look. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a heartfelt love for people. Don't matter what color they are, what kind of people they are, or anything that we have love. I was talking to somebody here week before last, I believe. And we was talking, and he asked me, he says, how's your church doing? I said, good, you're doing good. Lord's still blessing and everything. I said, but you know, you just can't get people to come and, you know, say they need to be saved and all that. You know, I don't know, I think the days of that is kind of dwindling on down. But, and I asked him, I said, well, how's y'all stuff doing? He said, I think doing pretty good. He said, we have stragglers to come in, families to come in, and then they'll come for 2 or 3 weeks or maybe a month and just come and in for that month. But then they'll end up joining the church. And he said, we had a family that visited our church for 3 or 4 weeks. They weren't the 3 services during a week, but they was there one day of the services every, all the weeks that they was coming. And then they wanted to talk to the pastor of the church. They wanted to talk to the pastor about the church, about joining, and what all the church does, and what do they have visitation, do they do this, or do they do that, or whatever. The pastor said this, and this come from his own member's mouth. So evidently, the member believes it also. But he says, we do not have anyone that is not of our same faith, not of our same society, but biblically wise, we do not believe that the blacks and the white should come to church together in the work of God together. And I didn't say it before, Lord. And an individual asked me, he said, what do you think about that? I said, well, I look at it this way. If I'm a pastor of a church, and a black family comes into the church, and they behave like we behave, I'm not talking about them being a bit dancing and all that. I'm talking about coming in here and behaving and worshiping the Lord the way we worship Him. And the way we worship Him is biblically. As long as they won't come in, as long as they won't join the church, that's fine. I don't have no problem with it. I says, I would rather have a family, 4, 5, or 6 of the blacks with the children than have one white individual that is popular in their community and has the money that we know that if we get them, that we can have the money. That they will provide the money for us to where we may need some of it. I wouldn't want to in here. But yet, we will let sinners come into the church. And we'll let them come and live the sinful life before the congregation and before the people. We'll let you come in. But yet you take a quick new thing that is black, Hispanic, or Jewish or anything. This not Caucasian. This not like we are. That's wrong. And do you think God's going to bless a church like that? No, I do not think so. Because my Bible teaches me that he went to Calvary and he went to the cross. And I put him on the cross. We all put him on the cross. But how many of individuals would defy that? So, well, I ain't put him on the cross. I ain't put him on the cross. I don't. Well, you've been saved all your life. Soon as you came from your mother's womb, you've been saved. Can't say that. Because once you were born, once my mother gave birth to me, and I came from her womb, and I took the first breath, I started dying right there. I won't start. I ain't started living. The only time that I was really living was when I was in her womb. But now, I'm outside. What do I do? I'm dying. Every minute of the day, I'm dying. I'm dying, and I don't never live again until I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, as my life. And then when I do that, then I have the authority to say to you, to anyone I hear, to the devil, that I am finally living. Because what people don't realize, a saved individual never dies. And I know we use that word kind of just been used, but loosely, like, we don't die. We just trip. I got somebody that's got a contract. The Lord Jesus Christ, he gave me a contract. When he saved my soul, he gave me a contract right then. That he was going to build me a mansion. And when I get to that mansion, I ain't got a thing to have to do to it. The table's going to be set. The food's going to be there on it. And the 12 amount of fruits is going to be there. I don't know if any strawberry shortcake's going to be there. So what he does have that is what we're going to love. So yes, I love him more today than I've had. Why? Because he's given me life where I will never die. Because see, once I got saved, and some preachers don't believe this, the day that I got saved, I started living for eternity. And I thank the Lord for that. I really do. The blessings of the Lord, the blessings that Israel had partaken from the Lord. It's the same blessings that He provides for His people today that we don't want because we have to do something for them. No, we don't have to do anything for them. But He's not going to bless us either. But when we do something for Him, then He will bless us. And we should not want to go out of Him and serve the Lord in the capacity that He wants us to serve Him to receive a blessing from Him. I mean, He's no respectable person. But He does not want me to accept Him and to do what I do to receive a blessing. I receive the blessing because I've done that. Because I have done it. I don't receive the blessing because I was thinking about doing it. But I'm so thankful for Him. Father, we do thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day. And Father God, we just ask that You would just be with us. Be with us as we go to the doctor. Be with us and the people here as some may have to go to the doctor this week. Lord, we pray, Father, for them. We ask, Lord, that You look over them. Take care of them. Minister to the heart and the soul. And Father, for the individuals this week that has a job that they can go to, I pray that everything will go in the way, Father, that You want it to go this week for them, to where they can be blessed. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your precious, precious word. Lord, I hear somebody tell my officer, I said, you know, you'll never see me read the Old Testament. Because we're not living in the Old Testament times. We're living in the grace. I agree with that. We are living in the grace. But we also are living under the law that God made. So Father, help me to be the under shepherd of these people. And Father, help me, Lord, that I will take care of them, their well-being. And I can take care of what You ask me to help them with. That I will pray for them each and every day. Lord, we thank You for what You're going to do for us this week. But most of all, we just want to tell You how much we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.